advocate versus adversary. We have been thinking about our advocate, but now we are moving to an idea of a court, a judgment scene, in which a judge is presiding, an advocate is representing the sinner, and an adversary is there to accuse. This is the picture that is portrayed in Zechariah chapter 3. There is a judge who is presiding. There is a high priest who is Christ, who is the Lord. And there is Joshua, the earthly high priest, representing earthly sinner. And Satan is there as the accuser of the brethren. Part number one, all need legal aid. And this legal aid has been provided. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have carefully thought about the nature of Jesus Christ, taking upon himself fallen, sinful humanity after 4,000 years of heredity, yet without sin. Tempted in all points, understanding all things, a sympathetic high priest and advocate. From God's part, he is God's own son. From the human part, he is the Son of Man. He is the man-God, the God-man. In him is humanity, the entire human race. He functions as the one who will bring together every broken relationship. He can do this because of his experience. He can do this because of his knowledge of both parties. He is God in the fullest sense. He is man in the fullest sense. He is not half God and half man. He is God, he is man. This is the mystery of godliness, and beyond that, it is futile to try to conjecture. Because he is God-man, he can take hold of God and take hold of man and embrace them as one, and represent man to God and God to man. He is the creator. He created the adversary, not as an adversary, but as the covering cherub. He overcame the adversary, not as the creator, but as man in the wilderness of temptation. So the credentials of our legal aid are without question. Part number two, he is a skillful advocate. How did he become skillful? Because he understands man. He understands how man thinks. He understands how Satan thinks. He has encountered Satan. He has lived with Satan. He has been embraced by Satan and taken up in his emaciated state to the top of the pinnacle and to the top of the high mountain, to which positions he could never have walked after 40 days of no food and no water. Our advocate understands perfectly the kind of adversary with which he is dealing. He also understands perfectly in the person of human beings every trick of the adversary. He has the answers. He knows what to say. He has recorded in his book what should be said. He has become like us. He has faced all our trials after he assumed all our disadvantages. He is perfect because he is possessed of every necessary qualification. That's Paul's summation in Hebrews 7:25. Every requirement he possesses. There is nothing that he needs to study. He is already totally experienced. And he promises that all who come, he will hold. Nobody will take them from his hand. He will never cast them out. Not only has he never lost a case, but he has never turned down a client. If we will only come to him, he will accept us. He's never too busy. He has never too many clients. He is not only our advocate, but he is our propitiation. He has died for us. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Jesus, as well as our fellow men, and all sin is cleansed. Part number 3. Our advocate provides access. He is resourceful. He provides access to power, to all power, to power in every time of need. He provides association with himself. He's not an attorney who sends us an occasional letter, who sends us with a letter to the judge. He is in association with us all the time. He provides access to the judge. He himself is the judge. But the Father presides in the judgment while he, as advocate and son, decides. And so when the Father is presiding, he takes every case personally and gives access to the judge. He is also the attorney. He knows the law. He framed the law. There's not an accusation that he doesn't understand. Therefore, since we realize this, since we have access by grace, since we stand in him, since we have hope in him, what should be our attitude? We should have boldness. Never lost a case, he won't lose ours. Nobody has ever taken us away and assigned us to another attorney. We should have a true heart. We should have full assurance. We should, day by day, accept the cleansing water that he gives to us. We should, day by day, accept the Spirit, that we are adopted, that we are born again, that we are children of God, that we call him Daddy, Abba, Father, that all things belong to us because we belong to Christ. This is all the access that he provides for us. Part number 4 deals with the adversary. But I would like to put before that the defeated adversary. When the adversary comes to us on any proposition, any temptation, any suggestion, he has been defeated 1,000 times on that same suggestion. I don't have to listen. This adversary is playing a losing game. He is the great loser. He played a game as covering cherub and lost. And he got 1/3 of the angelic hosts to lose heaven because of him. He came into the Garden of Eden, and the earth lost Eden. 1656 A.D., A.M. rather, it was taken by Christ, transplanted from this earth, and kept by the great gardener to be replanted in the new earth. He caused the loss of eternal life. When he tempted Jesus Christ, he lost. When he tried to kill Jesus Christ, he lost. And that lost him the last stage of his esteem that the angels or the unfallen beings might have had for him. He is a lost accuser. He is a lost adversary. And the Bible presents a picture of this fallen angel who has fallen and fallen and fallen, finally lost to the universe after the millennium in the lake of fire. Now he's going about like a roaring lion. He knows that his time is short, that he is doomed. So as we think about Satan, of the devil, let us realize that he is a defeated adversary. When he meets Christ, Christ says, "Get thee behind me." When he tried to fight over the body of Moses, Jesus Christ rebuked him and he went. "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan," Jesus Christ says to him in Joshua 3. "Get away. Don't you know that these are brands plucked from the burning?" I always think in that of an experience I had of rescuing a photograph from a pile of papers I was burning. Its ends were curled and browned. My hand was singed and smarting, but I had rescued that picture. And I see the hand that rescued me from the burning, scarred forever. But the adversary is rebuked, and the adversary flees. Part number 5, the adversary silenced. He has been saying great swelling words. He is represented as with a great mouth. He mouthed against God in heaven, he mouthed against God in Eden, and he has mouthed against God ever since. Finally, he will be silenced. He was ejected from heaven. He was defeated in Christ's temptation. He will be silenced in judgment. He will be imprisoned during the millennium. He will be cremated following the millennium. He is cast down and cast down and cast down finally into the pit where he will go into oblivion. His final casting will be into the flame of fire. So not only is Satan, the accuser, defeated, but he is silenced. All the accusations that he makes against me, all the things that he says that I have done, his yelping voice in my conscience saying that I cannot be forgiven to Jesus Christ, all may be silenced and peace may once again reign. What is the focus of this lesson in part number 6? God hath committed all judging to his Son. The Son of Man, the Son of God. And he hath committed to the Son of Man authority to execute judgment. And he is going to execute judgment on Satan. Satan claimed that he had controlled man, that he was the prince of this world, but it was a man that defeated Satan. It's a man that will condemn Satan. It will be a man that will execute Satan. And the Son of Man is my relative. He is my brother. Satan has accused the Son of Man, the Son of God, and the relatives of the Son of Man. But his accusations are silenced. His thrusts, his great swelling words are brought to silence. And as we consider the advocate that we have from any point of view, get assurance of the outcome of the final judgments of life.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.